And turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 5. It's good every now and then to stop and really consider what your life is here and all about. What your life is all about as a Christian. What God's purpose is for this church. And how do you fit into God's plan here? You know, here we are at the beginning of a new year, 2020. Hard to believe. But really, it's a perfect time to assess what your life is about and how it fits into this body of believers. And how your life fits into the cause of the gospel. You know, what are we here for? What really is the purpose of our lives and of the work of God? And it's important to think about that. Our text here tonight is at the conclusion of Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians. Of course, he is on his missionary journeys as he is writing this. He's writing it from Corinth. And of course, he's thinking about the believers there in Thessalonica, and he's giving them an important message and really an important request that we'll see here in a moment. Paul's plea for prayer here in this text provides an example for what we ought to pray and ask God for in regards to our church in this coming year. And my title tonight for our message is A Prayer for the New Year. A prayer for the new year. And it's pulling some truths out of Paul, his text here, that he gives to the believers at Thessalonica. And what he asks them to pray for his ministry, as he seeks to see the gospel go forward. But a prayer for the new year. Let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Many of Paul's epistles come to a conclusion by saying, finally, brethren. And we saw that even in this morning in Ephesians chapter 6. He concludes his epistle there to the Ephesians by saying, finally, my brethren. And here he's saying, finally, brethren. And he says, pray for us. Think about that. If the great apostle Paul asked us to pray for him. Here he is sensing his own need for the prayers of others. He's stressing the need to pray continually. It says, pray for us. And really the idea is there, maybe they've been praying, but he's saying continue to pray or intensify that prayer for me and for the work, for us, Paul and those that were there with him. You know, maybe they had been praying, but the need is great and he is urging them to continue in prayer for him. You know, if Paul sensed the need for prayer, don't you think we should, as we endeavor to preach the word of the Lord here, you know, as we seek to be used of God, that ought to be our desire and burden that people would pray for us. We need to pray. We need God's aid. We need his help. Paul really is putting an emphasis on prayer here. He was dependent on prayer. He knew it was so important. You know, how foolish it would be for us to go on in the work of the Lord, not sensing our need for prayer. and not sensing our need and dependence upon God. And so Paul here is concluding this epistle, and he's saying, brethren, pray for us. He's in Corinth. He's seeking to see the gospel go forward. And as we'll see a little bit later, there's adversaries that he's facing and opposition to the work, and he needs God's people to be praying for them. May this be a challenge for us as we think of our church and of the many ministries, our missionaries that are seeking to advance the word of God and the gospel. They need our prayers. God's people here in this place need the prayers of each other that the gospel would go forward. So Paul's request for prayer centers on two subjects. And first of all, I want us to notice the working of the Word of God. The working of the Word. He first asks them to pray for him and for those with him, that the Word of the Lord may have free course. That the Word of the Lord may have free course. Paul was asking for prayer for the working of the Word of God. And of course, you know, the Bible tells us and we understand that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive. It has dynamite power, so to speak. It's powerful. But you know, there can be very real opposition to the advancement of the work of God and the gospel. You know what? And Paul understood that. I'm sure Pastor could give us many examples over the years of opposition to the work going forward here. Whether that's people or Satan or just other things that were in opposition and it was hindering the Word of God and the gospel from going forward. And Paul, he understood that there was the opposition to the Word of God, and he sought the prayers of the Thessalonians to help overcome this opposition and the word from going forward. So he, first of all, he prayed that the word of the Lord would have free course. And this reminds me of 2 Corinthians 3 in verse 17, where it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That free course, the liberty, the freedom. This is the idea of the word of God being unhindered, having the freedom to work. Obviously, the Word of God, it is accompanied with the working of the Spirit of God to do mighty things in the hearts of people. You know, I can think of specific examples where giving the gospel to someone, I could sense and see that the Word of God was having free course, that there was a freedom, that there was a liberty, and that person was receiving and understanding the Word of God. And that's the idea here, that the Word of God would be able to freely go forward. Paul's prayer was that the Word of God, Word of the Lord, would have free course. There are examples that we see in the book of Acts where this is demonstrated. Just think of there at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The Word of God was going forth freely. It was powerfully going forward. It was unhindered. Just thousands of souls that were coming to Christ. And the Word of God had freedom to work. It had free course. People were responding to the Word of God. It had free course. And that was Paul's desire. Not that there was this opposition and this hindrance, but rather this freedom for the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, to go forward. Throughout revival history as well, we can see many examples of this where the Word of God had freedom to work and to go forward. And it affected many lives. But there's as we think of this phrase, that the Word of the Lord may have free course, really gives us some images here that help us understand the point that Paul is making. We could also say that the word of the Lord may run. That's an interesting thought, maybe to think about, that the word of the Lord may run. It's that giving the image of a mighty warrior running in battle. In his strength and in his power, he's advancing. He's going forward. He's carrying, going forward and attacking and conquering. And that's the idea, one of the images that's being given here of a warrior advancing and going forward. Turn over to Acts chapter 13. And there's a lot of examples from Acts here that, because obviously Paul was on his missionary journeys, but we see a lot of these things being played out in the book of Acts. But here in Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, Paul and Barnabas were boldly proclaiming the word of God. And we see the word of God advancing. It going forward powerfully as it's being carried and heralded. Acts chapter 13 and verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. Waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." But here we see Paul and Barnabas. It says they waxed bold. They were carrying forth the word of God. And we see that had a powerful impact on those that were listening. And many came to Christ. The idea of a mighty warrior running into battle. Paul's prayer was that the word of God would have free course, or would run, may run. And that's one of the ideas we see here. But also symbolizes that when it says may run, symbolizes the swift progress of the word of God as it is being urgently heralded. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "And the word of God increased." The word of God was freely going forward. It was being received. There wasn't that hindrance to it. It was being received. It was making swift progress. And evidently the word, as we see here in 2 Thessalonians and 1 Thessalonians as well, that the word of the Lord made swift progress among the Thessalonians when they received the word of God. And Paul was relating with them because of how they received the word of God. He was pleading with them to pray that others would receive it that way as well. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5 and 6. And here we see how the gospel came to the Thessalonians and how they received it. And this idea of the word of God running and going forth and having free course is demonstrated in the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Here the word of God made swift progress. It was running, so to speak, and influencing many lives there amongst the Thessalonians. It was swift progress. And that's Paul's, the idea that he's portraying here in 2 Thessalonians. Pray that the word of the Lord may run, may have free course, may have swift progress. You know, isn't that the desire that we have here as we seek to see the gospel go forward, as we preach the word of God, that it would make swift progress? You know, we want to see many lives influence. We want to see the word of God just at liberty and influencing lives. The word of the Lord or the gospel needs a herald. And God uses messengers. And we just looked at the example of Paul and Barnabas. And this word, this idea of the Word of God running or having free course has the idea of the urgency, of it being carried forth with a sense of urgency. And that ought to be true in our lives. There ought to be a sense of urgency in our proclamation of the Word of God. You know, is that the case? As we give out the gospel, as we stand for what's right, is there a sense of urgency in our lives? Is there a sense of urgency about our lives for the advancing of the Word of God? You know what, friend, this is no time to sleep. This isn't the time to get comfortable. No, we need to have a sense of urgency about the Word of God and it going forward. You know, there's a great need. And you know what, really, the Word of God is the answer to this world's problems. You know, we can just get lost in what's happening today and just be dumbfounded by it. But you know what, the answer is the Word of God. The answer is the gospel going forward. And that ought to produce a sense of urgency in our lives to herald the Word of God. You know what? Every believer this year can have a part in the gospel going forward. Paul prayed or asked that the believers there at Thessalonica would pray that the Word of the Lord may have free course as Paul preached and as he went around preaching the gospel. You know, each of us can have a part in the ministry of this church by praying for the working and the advancement of the Word of God in people's life. That there would be a freedom. Think of all the people that we are ministering to, whether it's through the daycare ministry, kids club, bus ministry, the university, the high school, soul winning. We want the Word of God to have freedom, to have that free course, to run and have that liberty to affect many lives. You know, if there's not a person here tonight, a child of God, that can't say they can't be used of God. You know, every one of us can have an integral part in the Word of God going forward in this place. Oh, you think, I don't help in this particular ministry. I don't help in that ministry. Well, you know what? You can still have a part in it. And Paul, his asking for prayer ought to compel us to pray as well, that the Word of the Lord might have free course as it goes forward. Think of our missionaries. I mentioned them already. But, you know, think of all those different missionaries and all the different works and churches that they are a part of and influencing. That ought to be our prayer, that the Word of God would have free course, that it would have freedom and liberty to work in those lives that our missionaries influences. Think of the soul winning that you are engaged in, participate in, or those that, many that participate in the church here, in taking the gospel out. That's what we need, is the free course, the Word of God to have freedom. In the preaching of God's Word, that's what we need. And, you know, anybody who's preached, they understand when there's liberty, when there's freedom in declaring the Word of God. Our goal is that the Word of God would run, would advance with great speed and unhindered. This year, that should be our desire, our prayer, that the Word of God would have free course in this church. You know, so many put forth so much effort in this work. You know, we need the Word of God to have freedom. You know, the Word of God isn't the problem. It's not lacking any power. But you know, we need it to have free course. We need it to fall on receptive hearts. We need people to receive it and to respond to it. We've touched probably a great multitude of people, the multitude of people in these communities around us, at least in some way. Maybe they haven't come here to a service, but many people have interacted with many people from around this area. And you know what? They know the truth. The Word of God is the truth. But we need them to be able to receive it. We need to have them, the Word of God, to have that freedom and that free course to impact and to go forward with great speed and unhindered. So Paul asked the believers to pray that the Word of the Lord would have free course. But he continues to go on in that verse, in verse 1, and he says that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Of course, he's remembering what we just read in 1 Thessalonians, of how the Thessalonians received the word of God. And his prayer is not just that it would have free course, but that it would have free course and be glorified. Just as the Thessalonians received the word of God and were favorable to it, Paul desired for prayer that the word of God would continue to be received and glorified by others he was ministering to. That idea of glorified is the idea to think well of, to have a good opinion of. You know, as a whole, the word of God is not thought of well in our culture today. It's not necessarily people don't have a good opinion of it. Maybe they don't reject it or whatnot, but Paul's prayer was that it would be glorified, that people would receive it. They would realize this is the truth, that they would think well of it and desire it. Paul's prayer was that the word of God would have free course and that it would be glorified. One commentator stated, "The triumphant onrush of the gospel brings glory to God, and in its success, his glory is seen." You know, God is glorified when the word of God, the gospel, is going forward in a powerful way. When souls are getting saved, when lives are being changed, God is glorified in that. And when the gospel, as the idea of free course and going forth, that triumphant onrush of the gospel brings glory to God. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I wanted to keep reading a few verses there. We read verses 5 and 6. But you see, in verse 6. Let's begin in verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians 1. He says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Their lives brought glory to God. It influenced the lives of believers. It influenced people all throughout Macedonia and Achaia. "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." That's what Paul's desires. He is on his missionary journeys. As he's in Corinth, as he's writing this, his desire was that the word of God would be glorified. That the word of God, that people would receive it, that they would think well of it, would have a good opinion of the word of God. And of course, that brings glory to God. "And be glorified, even as it is with you." Turn over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And here, I wanted to mention this passage because as Paul is writing, he's going through facing opposition. And we talked about this a moment ago. Really, the contrast here of the word of God being opposed is that it's glorified and that it's received. In Acts chapter 8, and let me see what verse that was. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. But when they believed, Philip preaching, 18. Did I say chapter 8? I'm sorry. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verse 12. And here's Paul. This is as right around the time that he's writing 2 Thessalonians and praying that the word of God would have free course and be glorified. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." So, of course, a number of people are in opposition against Paul here. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. In verse 13, we see that, or in verse 12, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul. They had come together and united against what Paul was doing. And this we'll see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2 how this ties in with that as well in Paul's prayer that the Thessalonians would pray for him. But here Paul is praying that the word of God would be glorified, that it would be thought of as well and received and be held with esteem as the Thessalonians received the word of God. So Paul's prayer, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. But we go on to verse 2 and we see a second aspect of Paul's prayer and his request for prayer. And that was for divine deliverance. First of all was the working of the word of God, but secondly now, divine deliverance. In verse 2 it says, "And that we," he's continuing to ask them to pray for this, "and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Deliverance from unreasonable and wicked men. You know what? If the word of the Lord is going to go forward freely, then deliverance from wicked men or those who oppose the truth is necessary. Paul desired that the Thessalonians would pray for his deliverance from those that oppose the truth. You know what? There will always be those that oppose the truth, that will stand in opposition. And we just read this example in Acts chapter 18 where the host of Jews that rose up against him and wanted to get rid of him, they wanted to be guilty of what he was doing, but obviously that didn't happen. But there was opposition that he was experiencing, and possibly this was at the very time that he was writing this. Paul was experiencing opposition firsthand. And we read that example there in Acts chapter 18. So Paul was very aware of the need for deliverance from wicked men who sought to stop advancement of the truth. And that was Paul's prayer, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. You know what? There are people all around us that have not the faith, that aren't saved, that don't understand, that think we're a threat, the gospel going forward. And Paul's desire was that they would pray that they would be delivered from these kinds of people. And in many ways, we're in a different setting than what Paul had. Was in. But you know what? That ought to be something we pray for as well. That we be delivered from wicked men that would seek to oppose and hinder the gospel from going forward. Think of especially those are our missionaries that are in more difficult cultures and countries. They need protection. They need divine deliverance from unreasonable and wicked men. You know, there are a lot of wicked people out there that are seeking to hinder God's work. And that would be their main goal, to hinder the gospel and the work of God going forward. And we ought to pray for God's divine deliverance from those kind of wicked people. And, you know, maybe they aren't out to kill our lives, but they're seeking to oppose in some way the word of God and the work going forward. We ought to pray that we'd be delivered from those kinds of people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, you don't need to turn back there, but we read how the Thessalonians, they received the word of God in much affliction, the Bible says. And so, of course, there was opposition that was taking place. And they experienced deliverance from that because many received the word of God there. And the word of God still went forward. So Paul's request for prayer was twofold. First, that the word of the Lord would have free course. And secondly, that the word of the Lord would be glorified. And then it's read there in 2 Thessalonians that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. You know what? Let's make this a prayer of ours this year for this work, for those that we are connected with, that the word of God would have free course and be glorified, and that those people, those seeking to take the gospel out, would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. You know, maybe it's in that workplace or in a school setting. You know, somebody's going to try to oppose you spreading the gospel or taking the gospel forward or living for God. You know, we need to pray that we'd be delivered, that those men, those people wouldn't hinder the work of God. So my main focus is verses 1 and 2, but continues on verse 3, 4, and 5. And I just want to quickly touch on those verses. In verse 3, we see here Paul encourages the Thessalonians in the faithfulness of God. And you know what? That ought to be an encouragement for us, something that we are encouraged by, the faithful, the unchanging nature of God. Look at verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." Reminds me of in Matthew when it says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. I love the verse over in Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 7. I'll just read that here. Psalms 34 and verse 7. "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." You know, you choose to do right. You choose to be on God's side and be a part of the gospel going forward, the word of God going forth. You know what? God's protection is promised. He is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. How that ought to have been encouragement to the Thessalonians in opposition that they were facing, the persecution, that God is faithful. But then he continues in verse 4. We see Paul declaring his confidence in the believers here in Thessalonica. "And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you." So Paul, he had that confidence in the Lord concerning the Thessalonians. He had that confidence. He knew they were committed to doing right. You know, can our missionaries, can this church depend on you? Because they know you are committed to the truth, committed to doing what is right. Here Paul's expressing his confidence in the Thessalonians. And Paul could trust them. He knew that he could trust in them to pray for him, and that they were going to do what he commanded them to do. They had established this reputation. And may that be the case in our lives, that others can have confidence in you, in us, that we are going to do what is right, that we are committed to the word of God going forward. And then in verse 5, we see Paul really expressing a prayer for the Thessalonians. "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. He expresses this prayer for them, that God would lead them. The idea here is to a greater love for God. And may that be the desire of our hearts, that God would give us a greater desire and increase our love for Him. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. You know, our love can grow cold. We can have it stolen away by so many other things. But Paul's desire is that the Lord would direct the Thessalonians into the love of God, that they would experience it in a more full, a more richer way, the love of God. And then he continues that God would lead them in patiently waiting and looking for the coming of the Lord. Of course, one of the themes of the books of Thessalonians is the coming of the Lord. And looking for and waiting for the coming of the Lord. And his prayer is that the Lord would direct them, your hearts, into the patient waiting for Christ. That idea, that knowledge that he is coming again. And we need to be waiting for him. We need to be looking for his return. So a prayer for the new year. Are you allowing God's word to work in your life? Does it have free course in your life? Let's apply this personally to each of our lives here tonight. Does the word of God have that freedom to move and work in your life? You know, is God working? Is he at work? Is there decisions that you are making, that evidence that God is at work, that you are allowing him to have control and to work in your life? The word of God has freedom and liberty in working in your life. And then the challenge here tonight is really that we would commit to praying that the word of the Lord would have free course this year in our church. That's what we need. God's blessing, God's working. The word of God, it hasn't lost any power, but we need to see it have free course and freedom to move, and that multitudes of lives would be impacted, that it would have free course and be glorified, and that we'd be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Let's make this a prayer for our church this year, that the word of God would have free course. Think of all the work and effort that goes into this ministry. We need the Word of God to have freedom, to have free course, to impact lives. And I trust that as we come into a new year, that that would be what we see God do this year. That we would experience His reviving presence, His reviving work in our midst, where the Word of God has freedom to work. And that multitudes of lives are saved and impacted and brought into this church throughout this year. So a prayer for this year, that the Lord, word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified. And that we'd be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Let's pray. Lord, we realize that all men have not faith. And that there are many that are seeking to oppose the work of God. Lord, Satan is all against destroying the work of God and the gospel going forward. Oh Lord, our desire is that that opposition would be countered and that it would be put down and that the word of God would be able to go forth with great freedom and liberty, that it would run freely, unhindered. Throughout this church, throughout our lives, throughout this community, throughout those that we are ministering to, throughout the works of our missionaries, that the word of God would have free course. And as the Apostle Paul pleaded with the believers there in Thessalonica, may we urgently, earnestly pray as well that the word of God would have free course. That these different, as the gospel goes forward from this place, in many different ways, that it would have freedom and power and liberty to work. The Lord, I pray that if there's someone here tonight that's resisting the working of God, there isn't that freedom in their lives. Oh Lord, in our church, there ought to be a sense of that freedom, of the free course of the Word of God. And Lord, if there's someone that's resisting you and that working that you are seeking to do in their lives, oh God, would they yield to you even here tonight and that working of God that you are seeking to do in their lives. And Lord, we'll look forward to what you're going to do in this year as we seek you, as we desire to go forward and to proclaim the truth in this community. May the word of God have free course. And Lord, may you be glorified in all that's done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Village. And a person reads that tract and gets saved. And passes that tract throughout the village, and the great vast majority of all those people in that village get saved. Well, that's a picture of the Word of God having free course. And on a personal level, I look at it as kind of like a coffee cup. You know, before God can work in somebody else's life, your cup has to be, full. He has to have free course in your life. And then he can overflow to the next person. But, if there's someone that's resisting, and God knows who's resisting, right? It's all a part of the atmosphere. One person who's resisting the Word of God can hinder the free course of the Word of God. But when when the people of God are responding to the Word of God, now the Word of God has free course to work on the next. And we have a church full of people like that, that then you have real revival. You have real free course. So it's very personal. A young person can be resisting the Spirit of God and hindering God from working. Remember the story, the incident years ago, Mr. Raines invited his neighbor to a Bible study. John Christensen got saved. Came to church. The first night he came to church. We're meeting in the house. And we're trying to do some remodeling. And the chairs were positioned just right so that, a person wouldn't fall down the holes in the floor where the ductwork used to be. And John Christensen, that's where he sat, right on those chairs that were right over those holes. But John Christensen... I remember the night that John Christensen made a big decision in his life. Well, that very night, his father was at Milwaukee Baptist Church hearing the gospel. And John Christensen at Maquoneago Baptist made a big decision for God. And that very night, his dad received Christ as his Savior. And that was a principle that God has free course in your life. That's going to overflow to the next person. And that's really what any church needs. The moving of the Spirit of God. It's both personal, but it's also sovereign. And so it's a great truth for us to think about. Now tonight, let's have a song invitation. Of course, the question is, are you... Does the Word of God have free course in your life? Or when you hear the Bible, there's that resistance? Or is there a definite no? Or is there surrender? Letting God do in your life what He wants to do. And don't be surprised if your loved ones get saved and your loved ones make decisions for God. Because now the Word of God has free course. Let's stand as we sing.
All right, he'll sing 435 in the blue hymnals. 435, Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. 435.
Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can be here tonight, and we thank you for the word of God that we've heard preached. And Lord, we do ask that the word of the Lord would have free course in this community and in this church. And Lord, we pray that it would be glorified in a great way. And Lord, we don't need our lives to be uplifted, but we need your word, Lord, to be uplifted and to be glorified. And we just pray that you would help us to be faithful in giving out that word and allowing that word to have free course in our own lives, and that, Lord, it would have a great and powerful effect, Lord, not only in this community, but, Lord, in each place that we have missionaries giving forth your word, and, Lord, how much they need your word to have free course. We think even of Paul as he preaches, Lord, at the spiritual life retreat there in Kenya. May you, Lord, just use your word in a great and powerful way there. And we just thank you, Lord, for this that we've heard, and help us, Lord, to faithfully pray that the word of God would have the effect that you desire for it to have. And just give each one safety now as we go from here. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.